I hope this is a little more informal. I want to kind of open it up a little bit for questions. But I just wanted to comment first of all and look at a specific passage of scripture, and then we'll just see where the Lord takes us, and then we'll have business meeting. So if you'll open up to Matthew chapter 24, that's where we're going to be tonight. But a couple of things. Drew, if you'll put that symbol up. Have any of y'all seen this symbol on Facebook? Yeah? Raise your hand if you've seen this of late. Anybody who has seen it know what it means? I didn't either until starting to check it out. What this symbol is, it's an Arabic symbol for the letter N. And it's popping up on Facebook in response to this ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq, Iraq and Syria. They're going in and they are targeting some of the most ancient Christian centers, some of the oldest church Christian groups. That date all the way back to the first century apostles, and they're slaughtering them in masses without getting too graphic. They're killing men, women, and children. They're demanding if you don't convert to their brand of Islam in particular. They are also fighting against other Muslims, but they're really right now targeting Christians. And they're saying, if you don't convert to their brand of Islam or pay a fine, and that fine means that you're in servitude and they'll take your daughters and your wives and make them their wives, is what happens with that. And then probably kill you too. Then they're going to kill you, or you can leave. And what's happened is, in Iraq in particular, a whole group of Christians has fled into the area that the Kurds are in. That's northern Iraq. They're in, some of them are up on a mountain that it's estimated about between 40 and 70,000 have fled up on a mountain, and they, until recently, until this outcry, have been without food and water. Children are dying as well as the parents. These extremists are going in and beheading children as the extent that what they're doing. And what they do is they go into a town that has, they know, has been traditionally Christian, and they will mark out different homes. The people have already fled, and they'll put this usually in red ink, spray painted in red ink along with some Arabic writing that basically says, when you take a translation, that we know whoever lived here was Christian. If you come back, we will kill you. They use this letter to mark a Christian. They use it because they say it's the what they call the Christians are Nazarenes. After the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what they call him. And so they use the letter N to mark it. And what's popping up on Facebook is different people are putting this up and on Twitter and social media as a way to say we support and we're praying for. So if you see that, that's what that means. I was wondering myself, but these are things that are going on in our world right now. They've been going on for some time, but they seem to be escalating. And anytime things escalate in that part of the world, we naturally start wondering, is this it? Is this moving us towards the Lord's return? And so what we're going to look at, you can put the map up if you want. We may play around with this a little bit, we may not, but it depends. There's Israel, kind of an outline of it. But if you will, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 24, and let's look at this, what Jesus said, and then we'll see if you have any questions or if you just want to go into business meeting. So, tell you what, let's stand together and read, and then we'll pray. We'll read the first first four verses. Matthew chapter 24 says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things?'" So his disciples are showing the grandeur of their temple. And they were commenting on it. Jesus says, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, now they're concerned about this. To them, Jesus is supposed to enter the temple and begin his messianic reign. So they're wondering, where does this fit in the picture? Where does the temple's destruction fit in the picture? So they ask him three questions. They say, "Tell us, when will these things be?" Talking about the temple's destruction. And along with that, the destruction of Jerusalem. If the temple's going to be destroyed, Jerusalem will be too. Second question, "What will be the sign of your coming?" And the third question, "And of the end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And then he goes on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word that you've given to us, that it is all that we need to walk in godliness, to walk in faith, to walk in trust in you, that you have given us everything we need in Christ. And we do want to lift up these believers that are suffering persecution, much worse than we have ever seen. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with them, that we even ask with those in Revelation, how long are you going to allow those who hate you to continue to do this? But Lord, we trust you too. We know that you will return, you will be glorified. Pray tonight that you would be glorified in our discussion, in our looking into your word, and that you would guide our study and guide my thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're not going to have time to go through all of this. If you were to get into the end times, you could spend weeks upon weeks upon weeks. And the problem is you could spend weeks upon weeks and still miss much. You get a lot of things right. You could also be guessing about a lot of things, because the Bible has many prophecies about what's going to happen. Many of them have already been fulfilled. And as we see here, as we're gonna just scan this passage, but many of them have also not been fulfilled. And oftentimes, in fact, until recently, and I'd say in the last century, how the prophecies were interpreted and the different theologies that were developed around the Bible came about because of misunderstanding. If you remember, from about AD 70, that's when Jesus, the event that Jesus just prophesied, the temple was going to be destroyed, that's when it happened. Titus, Greek soldier, or Roman soldier, came in. He later became emperor. He comes in and he sets up, the Jews had rebelled against Rome, had tried to throw off Rome. They surrounded Jerusalem, and over a period of 2 years, they ended up starving out Jerusalem. A group fled to a fortress out in the wilderness that they later ended up attacking as well. And when he finally took Jerusalem, he took it from the north. That's the only side, by the way, in Jerusalem that you can really mount an attack. The east, the west, and the south are deep valleys right around the hill that we call Jerusalem, Old Jerusalem. From the north, there's not. And he took it from the north. He went in and he scraped the Temple Mount clean. He took he tore down the temple, and he completely scraped every stone and actually pushed it off to the south. And even today, they're uncovering, as Israel has come back into the land, they are digging on that southern end, and they're uncovering different artifacts from the original temple. But he scraped that Temple Mount completely clean. That fulfilled Jesus' prophecy right here that we just read, okay? And it was a sign. First of all, the reason that happened is because as a nation, not individuals, but as a nation, the Jews, Israel, had rejected their Messiah. The leadership had rejected their Messiah. And so that's what happened. After a period of time, God destroyed them. He said it would happen. They were scattered throughout the world. And since that time, many of the theologies that developed kind of left Israel out of the picture. Up until the late 1800s and even early 1900s, when Israel began to be talked about, would be regathered together again. The Bible also prophesied that. If we had time, we'd go look at a place in Ezekiel where Ezekiel looks forward through the centuries. God pulls back the centuries and he sees a valley of dry bones. You remember this prophecy? There's a song that goes with it, them bones, them bones, them dry bones. Yeah, that's the song based on that. He sees this valley full of bones, and God asks him, can these bones live again? Can they be resurrected? And he says, oh Lord, you know. And he says, they will be resurrected. They will live again. I tell you that they'll form sinews. And he says, speak to the bones. So he speaks to them, and they come together. Skin forms over them. The Bible says they're scattered and they come together, bone to bone, joint to joint. Can you imagine this? If you're Ezekiel, you're watching all these bones suddenly just, you know, start clattering and coming together, shaping in bodies, skin and sinews going over them, and yet they're still lying there lifeless. And then he says, speak to the breath. God told Ezekiel, speak to the breath, and it will enter them, and they'll stand up. And he speaks to the breath, it enters them, they stand up, and there is a great army that no one can count. And it was a prophecy that God, as you read through it, God is prophesying that Israel would be gathered back together from the four corners of the earth, that his breath would gather them together. Well, what happened during World War II? That's after World War II. During World War II, they were persecuted. If you've ever seen pictures of the Holocaust, it's bones. The people that went through the Holocaust, if you ever look at those pictures, I've had the privilege of going through the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. It's depressing, greatly, to see the destruction, the gas chambers, the things that they were taken through. The bones that were piled upon, you know, human bodies, and then the ones that came out of it were nothing but bone with just skin barely on it. You could see just about every bone, all the ribs. That's what they had left. And yet, just two years after World War II, God suddenly in one day formed the nation of Israel. In 1947, there was a declaration, and Israel became a nation again. They had been slowly regathering in that land under the British rule, but the British stepped back and said, Israel's now a nation. And in one day, God formed a nation. Nothing like that has ever happened before. And fulfilling that prophecy. So, what does Jesus say? Here's the disciples, and let's look at it real quick. He says, don't be deceived. He says, many will come in my name. What he's going to do is he's going to answer these three questions. What are the three questions? The three questions is, when will these things be? Talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. What will be the sign that you're coming? And what's the sign of the end of the age? He's going to start with the last question and answer it first. Okay? So he's going to give them the sign of the end of the age first.